story of a new teacher trying to make use of her psychology courses, started her class by saying, "Everyone who thinks you're stupid, stand up." After a few seconds, little Johnny stood up, and the teacher said, "Do you think you're stupid, Johnny?" "No, ma'am," he said. "I just hate to see you standing up there all by yourself." It certainly can be very tough to be a teacher. It's tough being a student as well at times. And there's a very special relationship that we know that comes between a teacher and a student, nonetheless. A relationship that can be and very often is life-changing for both the teacher and the student. This morning I want to look at that one phrase that's used in our reading from John: Jesus is our teacher. And this morning we do want to look at that role as teacher in Scripture and in our lives. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you are that great teacher, and there's many ways in which we can look at you, Jesus. And today we think of you as our teacher. Help us to examine this and see how it relates and reflects to our life. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my mind be acceptable before you, O God. And we pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. I think probably everybody in the room here can think of a very special teacher that you had at some point in your life, someone who made a difference for you, someone who just said the right thing or spent a little extra time maybe with you after class, and that's something that made a huge impact in your life. It may have set you on a path for your job, for future choices in family and friends, and many things have been affected in your life potentially by this teacher, whether it was at school, or it was music, or whether it was Sunday school, or scouting, or whatever it may be. There's someone who is in that position that you can think of. Many people in our congregation today, if I know, were formerly working as in the education industry as teachers and principals, and you have stories of students who affected your life, I'm sure, in a very positive way, I mean, because I know we all have stories of students that didn't work so well, but we all have a story of a student that was something very special to us in that sense. Special students who you took time for, who you made a real effort for, or maybe just changed the way you taught because of something in their life, an enthusiasm or a talent that maybe they had. Jesus was that sort of teacher with his disciples. They were changed by his teaching and his presence in their lives. And in our gospel reading today, John's followers shout out at him at one point, and they call him Rabbi, and we're told in Scripture itself that that means teacher. But I often wonder, what is it exactly that Jesus taught? And what sort of teacher was Jesus? So the first place I wanted to begin with that is that word, Rabbi. It's a word that we're familiar with certainly today because of modern-day Judaism, and we hear the term rabbi used very much like we would say minister, reverend, and in that sense, in our modern-day sense of the word, a rabbi's function is very similar to a Christian minister. There's pastoral work, and there's sermon preaching, and there's meetings that they go to, and committees that they sit on, and they represent the congregation in different ways and facets. But rabbi, in the sense that's being used here and in Jesus' time, it was something a little bit different, and very much the word teacher fits that. The actual word means master or my master. It's a way of a student that would address someone who's a master of the Torah, and that's really what we're talking about when we say master. And in this book I have, many that I have, but this one particular one talking about Jewish history, talking about the synagogue and how the synagogue was also different at the time of Jesus. The primary function, and I'm quoting from the book here, the primary function of the first century synagogue was for a scholar, master, rabbi, to read Scripture and explain its meaning to the public. The Torah reading evolved into a regular cycle of Sabbath and festival Scripture readings from the Torah and prophets. This would be the type of synagogue in which Jesus read from Scripture, the synagogue in which Paul preached. Incidentally, Jesus' visit to his hometown is the first instance in recorded history of the custom of reading a selection from the prophets that relates to the weekly Torah portion. Jesus and others who were considered rabbis would come into the synagogue, and the synagogue was exclusively not for worship. They still had the temple for that. It was the place to learn about the law, and the rabbi would help interpret that. Now, you might be wondering, I know I did initially, Well, what's to interpreting in the law? Well, there's a lot to interpret in the law. There's a lot that's kind of vague. If you recall, many months ago, I talked a little bit about what it was like to be following the law in this day and age, and in certainly in the Old Testament. The law was written, as Jesus himself talks about quite often, not to restrict what people could or couldn't do, just simply to make them better people, so to speak. The law was written to show that, demonstrate how these people, the Israelites in particular, were God's chosen people. And I try to draw a parallel with this, and I'm very careful when I draw parallels because they don't always work. But I'm going to try to do that this morning with related to the law so that we see it in the Old Testament and in the function of this rabbi. It's kind of like you're in an organization, and we might think of something similar to scouts, possibly. To be a scout, you have to dress a certain way. There's a certain behavior that's expected of scouts, and there's certain things that they adhere to as far as their daily life goes. And that's just to be in scouts organization. To be a good Jewish person, to be that person selected by God, to be identified as God's people, there's rules that show everybody else we're living differently because God chose us. We're God's people. And here's how you know that we're God's people. We dress a certain way. We eat certain foods. We follow certain rules. Some of the rules don't necessarily make sense, but that's because it's showing that we're different than everyone else. And that's the point. But what does it mean, for instance, when it says in the Ten Commandments, not to murder? Our Judeo-Christian tradition in modern days has a law in the secular world that defines what that means. And we have lawyers and judges that help us understand the particulars of that in our real life. Because if someone actually went out and they were, say, wrestling on the stairs, fooling around, and this person fell down and they died, did I mean to kill them? But I still would get charged maybe with manslaughter because of that particular situation. And that definition is there, as a rabbi would be, in drawing that parallel again in the law, to help understand this particular instance, this is what we mean by that. So the rabbi would be, people would be coming into these public places, the synagogue, and saying, what does it mean we can't carry something on the Sabbath? Because that's one of the laws. What does that mean? Well, in its original form, might Jesus say, as the rabbi, that was had to do with building the tabernacle. And when we had the tabernacle built, we were supposed to take a time of rest, again showing that we're separate, we're God's chosen people, we've picked this particular day to do no work. And we want to make sure that the tabernacle's been, it's a tent of worship, it's all been put together prior to our day of rest. So we can't carry any wood, we can't carry any and burn anything. So what does that mean in reality? Well, we move way forward, and I've told this story a number of times here from the pulpit, and a site that I used to follow quite regularly called Ask the Rabbi. And one of the questions that came up as they were explaining to some younger people was, well, you can't carry anything in your pockets because that's against carrying law on a Sabbath. Well, I have here, because I live in a house that's not an immediate community, we all do, I have keys. Well, I can't carry my keys. I'm not supposed to carry anything to show that I'm God's chosen people. What do I do with my keys? I have to lock my house. So this rabbi had a solution to that. And actually, not just this rabbi, many rabbis. They take the key and they drill a hole at this end of it. And then they have a special belt that has a hook on it and a hook on it. And now it's my belt buckle. I'm not carrying it. It's holding my pants up. I know. Sounds ridiculous. But it's trying to interpret the law to prove that we are God's people. Let's think back. In fact, this morning, and I know I often talk about films, but this morning on Turner Classic Movies, there was a movie made from 1941, One Foot in Heaven, I think it's called. And in that, it's a story about a minister from Stratford, Ontario, of all places. And in 1941, he was struggling with the idea of going to a movie or not. And we think nowadays, going to movies, who cares? But when this movie took place, it was supposed to be 1904 when the movie was taking place. People who wanted to be good Christians didn't go to film houses. And ministers didn't go to film houses for sure. And this movie is all about his struggle, about trying to come into the modern times in those days and understand what it means to do that. So not that long ago, to be a good Presbyterian Christian, you didn't play cards, you didn't go to dances, and you didn't go to movies. Not that long ago, really. I'm sure everybody in this room is going, I remember those days. And on Sundays, what did you do? Nothing. You went to church, and you all dressed up good clothes, and you went to church in the morning, you had lunch, and you came back to church again. And it was Sunday. And that made you a good Christian in so many ways. It's the same idea in the sense of law. And when people look at some of the stuff from the past, they would think, that's ridiculous. Just like that key story I told you for the Jews. Not going to a film can appear just as ridiculous. What's the matter with going to a film or dancing or playing cards? At one time, it was considered so. I remember reading back in a book I was reading back probably in the 70s, they were comparing Christianity and the Christian faith in North America versus Britain. And it said in this book that in America, you better not smoke, but women could wear makeup. But in Britain, it's okay to smoke, but you better not wear makeup. They're both reading the same scriptures at the same time, same period of time, and interpreted them different. Jesus' function as a rabbi was to help people understand how it was to be God's people. He was not up there preaching sermons as we understand it today. He was reading directly from Old Testament and then helping people to understand what those things meant. And that's nice as we think about that in that context and how rabbinical teaching grew, especially after the temple was destroyed. They no longer had a place to worship, and the synagogues evolved into a place of worship and prayer. And that house of prayer is what the Christian church has become in so many ways. And even when we look at Islam, their places of worship are houses of prayer. We've all kind of come from similar kinds of backgrounds. What does it mean for Jesus to us be a teacher? Well, one of the things I think that we need to struggle with, or do struggle with, is what is it exactly that Jesus taught? And certainly one of the things I know I spoke about, as I referenced last week, talking about my presentation that I did to the WA on film and the history of film and church. A lot of our information, and I don't mean ours in the church, but I'm saying as a culture, a lot of the information we have about what it is to be a Christian person actually comes from media. And I'm not just saying film in particular, but it's also books. Books and film and television inform what it is to be a Christian, and really what's in Scripture. What we need to be doing and struggling more with is, what is it actually that Jesus said on certain topics, and just in general as well, what is it that he said? What is it that Scripture has Jesus teaching about? Because I did spend some time this week playing with that. Of course, I got on the internet and looking at some books. Was Jesus a nice guy? Did he just stand at the front and say, love everybody and be nice? No, not necessarily. In fact, that's one of the reasons he was always in trouble. He was a bit of a troublemaker. He was someone who was going against the grain very much and against the sort of the religious beliefs at the time. He was challenging people all the time. So his message was not just love one another, although he said that. His message was love God above all else. Sometimes that's difficult to comprehend. And he tried to help people understand, as a rabbi, what that means in practical terms. Jesus is our teacher. What is it that he's taught? What is it that he's challenging you and me today with his words in Scripture? What does it mean that we must be living for God first and foremost, that we must love God above all else in our life? What does that mean in practical terms? Well, one of the functions, I guess, too, as a minister is to be that rabbi and help us to work that out. You are working that out as you read Scripture. You're working that out as you speak with one another. You're working that out as you come to Bible studies and Sunday morning services, working out the particulars of that. But I want us all to spend some time really seriously looking at the words of Jesus. What is it that Jesus had to say about living our lives as Christians? And I come back to this repeatedly. I come back to this more often probably than I should in some ways. Jesus did not simply say, be nice people. He didn't say that simply by itself. He did not say, go out there and just be good people. In fact, that's how you get to heaven. Be a good person. Jesus did not say those words. So the challenge for all of us is, what did he have to say? What is it that Jesus is calling us to? What is it that life that I talk about from Sunday to Sunday, we've strayed off of God's path? What is it Jesus is calling us to walk? What path is it that he's calling us to walk? Because we don't understand that, we can't understand where we've gone wrong. And we can't understand what it is to be right in that regard. We are God's chosen people, just like those people of the Old Testament. We are God's chosen people, set aside to live for God. What does that mean? Lots of questions, lots of things to consider. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus turned and saw them following, the people from John's group and others, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. Jesus is asking us this morning, he's turning to each of us today and saying, "What are you looking for?" And our response is, "Rabbi," is teacher. Teach us. Help us to know what it is to be with you and walking with you. So again, our challenge is around that same question. What are we all looking for? What is our relationship with Jesus? Our answer is, it is in John, is rabbi, which means teacher. So as we reflect on that special teacher in our life that I mentioned at the top of this, how does Jesus fit that same role for you and I, potentially? Has the teachings of Jesus made the same impact on our daily lives, on our life decisions, as that very special teacher that we can think of? And what exactly is it that Jesus teaches? How can we make those teachings more powerful in our daily life and in our life decisions? Clearly, we need to dig into this a little further. Clearly, we need to be praying that God can open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and we can find them. The answers are there. Jesus, our teacher, rabbi. Amen. Our God has done wondrous things, too numerous to count in so many ways. Again, through steadfast love, faithful care, God enriches us in every way. Therefore, as Scripture says, do not delay. Let us offer to God ourselves this day and all that we have and all that we are. Now is the time to offer our tithes and offerings to God. Amen.